All right.
Okay. Good morning, church. It's good to be here and to share the word. Appreciate the worship. It's always good to worship the Lord, even though we're not in the same proximity, but we're spread out in our homes and wherever you might be viewing this. It's just good to worship the Lord and praise the Lord wherever we find ourselves. Today I'm going to be sharing the word. I'll be taking the text Luke 5, 26 through 39. And I've entitled the message, Out with the Old and In with the New. And we'll kind of catch on to this as we go. In Luke 5, we pick up Jesus walking along. And it says that after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've come not to call the upright, but sinners to repentance. And they said to him, the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says the old is good. That last verse there is not found in Matthew or Mark's account of this. But I think what it's simply saying is that there's some people who are so accustomed to the old that they're not open to the new. And I think I find that true in life. But what I see here, and I looked at this set of scriptures, and I thought, what am I going to do with this? These seem to be, they don't seem to go together. They don't seem to flow together. I could take it apart and take one section at a time, kind of explain what was being said in each verse and so forth. But after a while, I stepped back a little bit and I looked at it and I saw that a pattern was developing in this set of sayings that Jesus was saying. He was basically saying that the old and the new don't mix. The old and the new is the crux of the message of what Jesus was teaching and demonstrating in the previous narrative and parables we just read. For the tax booth business for Levi, that was the old. Leaving everything behind and following Jesus was the new. The old had to be left behind. The old barrier between Jew and Gentile, sinner and upright, had to be left behind. And the new acceptance of all people by God had to be embraced. The old of fasting and prayers. And the reason why they fasted in prayer was they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And the old fasting and prayers for the coming of the Messiah were now to be replaced with the new realization that he has come. And the patch from the new garment was not compatible with the old garment material. And the new wine and the old wineskins we're not a workable solution. The basic point Jesus is making is that new and old don't mix. People shouldn't be surprised when putting them together has unfortunate results. There are those that are trying to be acceptable to God by engaging in various religious behaviors and rituals or attempting to be good enough morally to gain entrance into the kingdom of God. That is the old way of being and doing and believing. The new way is faith in Christ. The old ways of attempting to gain God's acceptance and have a right relationship with God do not mix with the new way of approaching God through Jesus Christ and the new birth. So there's this old way that needs to get out of the way in order for the new way to enter into the picture. In Hebrews 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. So he's talking about a new and living way in which we can come to Christ, come to God, have a relationship with God. The old way of approaching God consisted of external laws and sacrifices and rituals. The new way of approaching God is internal through the new birth, which is a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. So we need to get this. It's that the old way of approaching God consisted of external laws, sacrifices, rituals. The new way of approaching God is internal through the new birth, which is a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to kind of talk about today, and not really kind of talk about, but talk about today. I have one person in the audience who's laughing, and that's nice to know. If you want to say amen where you're at home, go ahead and shout it as loud as you can. I don't know if we'll hear it here, but we can give it a try. But this is what I wanted to talk about today, and it's a very basic understanding of Christianity, and that is the new birth, being born again, putting on the new and taking off the old. And Paul has a lot to say about that. He has a lot to say about putting off the old, putting on the new. And the term born again is nothing new to those who have been around Christianity for any length of time. In John 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And later on, he said to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I say you must be born again." So he's talking about a rebirth. Most of Christianity, we have reduced it to a faith in Jesus Christ. And when I die, then I get to go to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's truth to that. But Jesus came more than to forgive our sins so that when we die, we go to heaven. He came to make us alive to God so that we can be restored to God just as God originally had intended in the garden when he created Adam and Eve. He wanted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life, the life of God himself, itself, and to be in communion and be in union with him. So he came to bring us this new birth, to bring us the capability of communion with the Father, communion with the Trinity, communion with himself. Jesus said in John 17, "Father, I in you, and you in me, and they in me, and they in us," and everyone was together and in this union. And so being born again is a very crucial understanding of the Christian faith. Again, it's more than being forgiven for our sin, which is wonderful. If that's all it is, that's wonderful. We die and get to go to heaven. But it's more than that. It was a relationship that God wanted to have with us humans, and it could only happen through our spirit being made new and being made alive to God. First Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And later on, Peter says in that same chapter, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." So we have been born again. A person who turns to Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord has been born again. There's something that has transpired in the spirit of a man, of a woman, that is completely unique to the Christian faith. There is no other faith on earth that speaks of this being made alive and being put in communion with their Creator and their Father. It's not a religion of rituals and so forth. It is a new life that is received through Jesus Christ. We have to be born again because prior to Christ, we were dead spiritually. Death just means separation. When we die physically, our bodies, our soul, and our spirit are separated from our bodies. That's natural death, physical death. But spiritual death is when our soul and spirit is separated from God and God's presence and God's life. God wants to sustain us with his life. And so sin has separated us from his life. And so we are spiritually dead until we come to Christ and he makes us alive again. It says that we're separated from the presence and the life of God, unable to truly commune with him. In Ephesians 2, it says, and I really like these passages. He says in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." And he's talking to believers. He says, you were dead. Before Christ, you were dead. You were separated from God. You were separated from God's life. You were separated from God. You were in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. Look at the train of thought here. You were once dead in trespasses and sins, which we once walked following the course of the world. We had no choice but to follow the course of the world. There was no other course available to us. We weren't in communion with God, so we couldn't follow God's life and God's ways. So we were following the course of this world. And then he goes on to say that the prince of the power of the air is the god of this world, small g, god of this world system. So we were following after, Satan and the fallen world. And he says the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. So everyone that is in disobedience to God and have rejected Jesus Christ or have not yet received him, they're all under this. In 1 John 5:17, it says the whole world lies under the sway or the control of the evil one. And so that's where we were prior to coming to Christ. It says in verse 3, "Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Our very nature was that of God's wrath coming upon us. But verse 4 is the turning point. And I like a good but. In verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." Amen. Even while we were in this condition that the other verses talked about, we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with him, with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And then he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, the works of the flesh and so forth and so on, not religious things, not ritual things, not anything, but through Jesus Christ have we been saved. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created," and some translations says recreated, "in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." But we are his workmanship now, recreated in Christ Jesus. He took us and made us new, made us alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6 talks about, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." A new life. When you come to Christ, you get a new life. Brand new. You're a brand new person in the spirit man. You have been made in the image of God, created in his image. You've been made righteous. You've been made holy. You've been made pure. You've been made complete. You've been made in the very image of God in your spirit man. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And this, I think, we need to understand. We've heard of it, but we need to understand it a little bit more. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has called you is faithful. He will surely do it." Paul mentions here the spirit, the soul, and the body. Man is a tripart being. And in our spirit man is the part that connects with God. Our spirit man is that which has been made brand new. Our spirit man is that which is created in the image of God. The soul consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions, and they need to be renewed to what has happened in the spirit. So somebody said it this way, that we're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. And in the spirit, man, we are saved. Nothing more needs to be done. You know, you won't be any more righteous and any more holy than you are right now in the spirit. In your spirit, man, you are complete in Christ. Now in the soul, that needs a lot of work. Our mind, our will, our emotions, that needs a lot of work. But and God is in the process of working that. And when you hear people talk about God dealing with them and God changing them, God working with them, that's in the area of the soul. But their spirit man is complete, because that is what Jesus has caused to be born again and made whole. And the body is simply an instrument that intersects with this material world. You see, the mind, the will, and the emotions, they need a vessel that they can intersect with this natural realm. That's why God incarnated if that's a word, in Jesus Christ. He took on a body so that he could intersect and function within this natural realm. So the spirit is the part of man that connects with God. The soul consists of mind, will, and emotions. And the body is the instrument that intersects with this natural world. And so we need to understand this because we dwell a lot in the soul. And we fail a lot in the soul. We sin. We're disobedient. We're not functioning the way we want to function in life. And so we get down on ourselves. We condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up. And then we try to make ourselves better for God to accept us and God to use us and so forth. But that isn't how it should be. We need to remind ourselves that in our spirit, we are made complete. And that the soul needs to be renewed to what has happened in the spirit, what has happened to our spirit man. We need to renew our minds and understand who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. And I believe that when we do that, we will defeat those areas of our soul that right now seem to be defeating us. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul puts it this way. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Notice the tense of that sentence. The old has passed away. Not going to pass away. Has passed away. You know, we're not living in kind of a place where, you know, we have to face defeat all the time. We have to be discouraged all the time. We have to just wait until the sweet by and by, wait until Jesus returns, and then we'll experience what it means for this old to have passed away. He's saying that right now the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, not is going to come, but has come. And once again, he's talking about the spirit man. Spirit man has been made a new creation in Christ, and the old death that it faced, the old, it was just dead, its inability to commune with God, its inability to be in harmony with God, all that has passed away, and the new has come. And we are able now to be in that place of communion with the Father through the new birth. The Christian is a new creation already in this life. We're made new in Christ, one who is alive to God. In Galatians 6:15 says, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You see, this was what Paul was talking about in Galatians anyway. There was these Judaizers that had come, and they said, in addition to faith in Jesus Christ, you must be circumcised. And they were adding to what Jesus had done and saying that this is the way that you have to go in order to be acceptable to God. They were bringing something of the flesh, something of the old way, and trying to patch it in with the new, and it didn't work. Paul was refuting it. Paul was saying, no, it's simple faith in Christ. Circumcision doesn't count for anything. Uncircumcision doesn't count for anything. What matters is that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created or recreated in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you getting an idea here? I know I'm kind of repeating myself a lot, but Paul talks a lot about this because the churches that he visited, they were walking in the flesh. They were not walking as new creatures in Christ. They were not walking according to what has occurred in their spirit man. They were living in the flesh and acting out the things of the flesh. And Paul was saying, no, that's not the way to do it. You're a new creation in Christ, and you should be living out of that life rather than the life of the old creation. Ephesians 4:24, and he says, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what I say. In the new creation, we're created in the likeness of God, just like he wanted from the very beginning of creation. He created man in his own image, and now he has rescued man through Jesus Christ and has provided a way for man now to walk in that image again. Created him after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Not a false righteousness of works and rituals and religion, but true righteousness that comes through the new birth. And like I said before, and this may be hard for us to understand or grasp because we're used to feeling the soul and used to our own failures and used to thinking in those terms, because it's very real to us. But the reality is, in our spirit man, it is complete. It is complete. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe it is. We are holy, blameless, complete. And I know that you're thinking, no, I'm not. You should see me at home. You should see me in traffic. You should see me, you know, you should read my thoughts. And I don't want to do that. But the fact is that we have a soul that's unrenewed. But that doesn't discount the fact that we have a spirit that is completely new. Colossians says, we put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. And now 2 Peter 1:4, this one blows me away. It says, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them we might become partakers of the divine nature. Can you imagine that? Humanity partaking of the divine nature? Interacting with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in such a way that we partake of his very nature. And we quite often think of ourselves as sinners, just saved by grace, you know, and we're just barely getting by, and thank God for Jesus and his shed blood. And I'm not mocking that at all. I mean, that is so true. When we live in our soul and we live according to the flesh, there's plenty of times in which condemnation and a sense of defeat and a sense of alienation from God comes. But if we renew our minds to who we really are in the Spirit, we can say very confidently, no, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I don't need to be defeated by this. Paul said, consider yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. I got to finish up here. The old ways of the flesh do not mix with the new ways. You know, when I say I got to finish up here, that means another hour. So the old ways of the flesh do not mix with the new ways of the Spirit. And we're familiar with Galatians 6 that talks about walking by the Spirit and not gratifying the flesh. And he talks about the fruit of the flesh as compared to the fruit of the Spirit. And again, he just basically is saying, put off the old and put on the new. Put off the old ways of being. He says that idea of walking in the flesh compared to walking in the Spirit as a congregation. He's speaking to a congregation. And he's saying, quit being fleshly towards one another and live by the Spirit towards one another. That spirit man that is within you. To live before God apart from Christ and without the Spirit is to live in the flesh. To walk in the Spirit is incompatible with life according to the flesh, because these two are in utter opposition to one another. So we have to put off the old and put on the new, because the old and the new don't mix. Make sense? Okay, let's finish up here. Romans 12, 2. This is how you change. This is how you become all that God desires for you to become. It's not through gritting your teeth, trying your hardest, making resolutions that you're going to try this and try to be a better person and try to this and that and so forth. That's attempting to become more Christ-like through external means than it is the way that the scriptures subscribe to us or prescribe to us. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word conformed means to fashion in accordance with. Do not fashion your mind in accordance with the ways of the world, because the ways of the world are flesh. But instead, conform them and assimilate them to the ways of Christ, to his teaching, to his word, to his character, and to his being. The word transform comes from the Greek word metamorpho, and that's where we get the English word metamorphosis. And it means to change the external from the inside out. To change the external from the inside out. And we have the example of the caterpillar and the butterfly. Caterpillar being an ugly, 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 ugly thing in my eyes, it is. And it goes up a tree and finds a twig and dangles from that and covers itself with a cocoon. And from the inside out bursts forth this beautiful butterfly. It didn't come from the external in, eating up the caterpillar and getting rid of that, you know, just trying to munch away at it and get rid of it and all that kind of stuff. It came from the inside. It was transfigured. That's what that word means, to change from the inside. That butterfly came from the inside of that ugly moth. And that's what that word transform means. It's kind of like God taking an ugly sinner and changing them into a beautiful child of God. So be transformed. How? By the renewal of the mind. And that will be our last point here. The renewal of the mind. The word renewal means to renovate or restore something. And I think of these carpenters and tradesmen that can take an old house and they can go in there and they can tear off the old, you know, that's been corrupted through time and so forth. And they can make it something beautiful by the time they're done. They either remake it to its original form or they make something new out of it. But either way, that old structure is renovated and made to be something brand new. And we are called to renovate our minds. Renew our minds to who we are in our spirit man. Renew our minds to who we are in Christ Jesus. And the soul is always going to take in whatever information you're willing to give it, whether it's the ways of the world or the ways of the scriptures and the ways of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. But that's how change occurs. That's how we out with the old and in with the new, is really renewing the mind. Changing and becoming a, quote, better Christian isn't a matter of, again, gritting our teeth and making a decision that we're going to do this, I'm going to change this, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to love better, I'm going to forgive better, I'm going to really do this thing better. And within a couple months, you know, we've lost that initiative. What it is if we take the time to renew our minds to who we are in Christ, that change will happen. One preacher calls it effortless change, because the only effort we're putting in is by putting the Word of God in and renewing our minds to who we are in Christ Jesus. And who we are in Christ Jesus is made in the image of God. Ephesians, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray that whatever was of you would be taken and by the Spirit would be birthed and made alive in each and every person that heard it. And that which was of me would just fall to the ground. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to walk by the Spirit which you created in your image, and teach us your ways and teach us your mind and your heart. And for those that struggle in their mind to believe the right way, to believe your way in regards to who they are, I just pray that the enemy would be bound over their minds and their hearts, and that they would be freed up to receive your word and to receive your Spirit and be ministered to by you. Thank you and bless each and every one that tuned in today. And we thank you for it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.